Hey, this is Lucas Reiter, executive producer and writer of episode 615, Olivia Olson. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
I'm all for sacrificing long-term strategy in favor of short-term gain. Welcome to the award-winning The Blacklist Exposed podcast. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson, and I'm either in or I'm out. So I guess I'm in. Thanks for joining us once again as we discuss number 115 on The Blacklist this week, Olivia Olson, which was written by Lucas Reiter and directed by Stephanie Marquardt. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com.
On this episode, we'll cover off on the profiling question from last week with thoughts from all of you, dig deep into this week's case profile on Olivia Olson, and then go to Special Agent Intel as always. Remember, if you are having fun, throw a few bucks in the hat, so to speak. We have two new episodes up there on Patreon for our Patreon-only subscribers. One is the C2E2 panel itself, and the other is C2E2 after the panel. If you want to hear stories that you won't hear anywhere else, be sure to head over to Patreon. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. Fill the fedora, and you can also get some cool rewards for yourself.
With that, let's see how you answered last week's profiling question. What illness do you think Red has? Julia Hoa thinks Alzheimer's.
He's getting older. Josie said it has to do with a slow disease, such as multiple sclerosis, that will eventually kill him. I don't think it's Alzheimer's, since he does not show any memory gaps with his lengthy monologues.
This one's interesting. Alice says, as someone who is almost 60, I think Red is trying to enhance his genes so he can continue his mission. As he becomes elderly, he'll lose reaction time, reflexes, possibly eyesight, hearing, and muscle mass. How can he perform against the world's top criminals who are decades younger? I don't know. Ask Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's doing it.
I don't know. I'm 40 and I already have all those problems.
Yeah, same here. Ow!
Sherry Curtin says, the poison that Kaplan gave him actually affected his respiratory system and I think his nervous system as well.
Yeah, I'm seeing that one a lot. Do you think that's a possibility?
Well, maybe, because there was, I think it was in that episode when he got the antidote or whatever it was to fix it. I thought there was something like, we don't know if he'll ever fully recover. I think I remember a doctor saying at some point.
Amet said he carries the Nipah virus.
That is a scary virus, too, by the way. That one goes between humans and animals.
So what is he trying to say about Red? Well, just a little bestiality action? Or what are we talking about?
Well, just I think just being in different countries where a lot more animals roam more freely than in the U.S.
You sure you don't want to pop out a theory about how he used to be a Shetland pony?
Shetland ponies are cute, though. Monica Stolfa said, eating all that herring gave him mercury poisoning.
That's hilarious. Nadia said if he were Katerina or Konstantin Rostova's brother, he could have the same illness.
Russian genes. Very possible. Sabine said, because it is the Blacklist and nothing is as it seems, I don't think he has a disease, and we already had a long story arc about inherited diseases. So what about the possibility that he wants to mask his DNA profile for some other reason? He is an imposter, after all.
I like that. But everything we've seen indicates that he is suffering some discomfort.
Diabetes, right? I mean, nothing else, because that's where you shoot yourself if you have diabetes.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more when we get there, because he is noticeably ill now. I mean, it's very prominent at this point. So we'll talk about that when we get there. And this week's profiling question, the next one up, is should Wrestler pursue his line of questioning? Should he find out about Real Red?
I don't know. Seems like that would be a death sentence.
I want to see his contract that he signed for season 7. Make sure it's there.
Oh, my gosh.
He put a stipulation in, if my hair moves, it's void. What?
What?
That's a weird one, but all right.
All right. Thanks so much for everyone that participated this week. Now, before the big one bites, let's get into this week's case profile.
All right, Olivia Olson. The task force searches for this woman who specializes in hostile takeovers of criminal organizations, may have intelligence about the conspiracy that's at large involving the president and Anna McMahon. Dun, dun, dun. The breakdown of this one is the chief of police is blackmailed via streaming in a coffee shop. What did you think about this way to blackmail somebody? Just showing up, guy, the lead singer from Midnight Oil shows up. drops down this briefcase. Old jokes. Old people jokes. And he's got a video from this lady telling him, you're going to do what I say, or you're going to bring down the cartel you've been protecting, or you're done. What'd you think about that?
I thought it was actually a really cool opening. We've had a lot of cold opens over the years that are pretty good. I thought this one was actually pretty fun. If as a chief of police and doing a lot of the search and seizures and stuff and you've done over your career, I think the last thing you would do is actually open up that briefcase because you don't know if it's going to explode or anthrax or whatever you can think of could possibly be coming out of that case. And I did like that he actually played it. Like he was all like, I'm going to gently push these open and oh, oh. And then mm-hmm. It was just a video. So that was good. But then, of course, it catches fire and destroys the computer, which is sad because it looked like it was a pretty nice model.
This message will self-destruct in 30 seconds.
It had that very Mission Impossible vibe to it.
Yeah, it did a little bit. So overall, we've got this organization that isn't brought down. Olivia Olsen's still on the run, right?
Yep.
By the end of it. So another blacklister who exists. This is happening a lot this season, is it not? Where we have blacklisters that are not actually brought down, which means they're going to come back into play. I mean, this is the third time it's happened this season.
Well, and people are, I see them commenting on the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Instagrams and whatnot, that this is a problem. And I'm like, there's been other blacklisters over the years that have not been captured. And Vanessa Cruz not captured, Ruslan Denizov not captured. There's a whole bunch of them that aren't captured. And I think the people that don't get captured are because they're going to help Red out in some way at the end of the day. And he's keeping them in play for a reason. And clearly this one is going to be because Olivia Olsen, he needs her help again at some point to find out more about the conspiracy or just keep her on the payroll potentially.
And just to break, I mean, the overall, I mean, this was really central plot about bringing orchestrating this attack where she brings down the structure underneath this woman who's fighting for Parkinson's. I mean, overall, it was just to illustrate this organization, Olivia Olsen's organization, and she's a former Wall Street analyst who reemerged as this corporate raider for the criminal underground. So she finds a way to deconstruct criminal organizations, to break them down so they are vulnerable. And that's what she's done. Now, we don't really know why she did this unless I missed something. I don't think we got an indication as to why she had to bring this particular woman or organize this Parkinson thing down.
No, she was literally just doing her job, going from, you know, next client to next client to next client. One of the clients happens to be Anna McMahon. And so we're just introduced to her and going about her daily business and doing whatever she needs to do so that Red could get to Olivia in order to find the files about whatever the Third Estate, I think it was called.
Yes, we'll come back to the Third Estate. And also, you've got a note here. Why don't you talk about
that? Well, Liz was going through the rundown about all the different people that Olivia had worked with. And I just thought it was interesting that she mentioned Ukrainian oligarchs. Now, Ukraine being its own country to Russia, but it was part of Russia and the Soviet Union at one time. So I thought it was interesting that Alexander Kirk was an oligarch, and then here's a Ukrainian oligarch. So is there some kind of tie in there potentially?
So it's Putin just saying it's probably Putin.
That's Aaron and I just at blacklistexposed.com, by the way. You're listening, CIA, KGB.
I want to keep saying that because I want to see if when Putin's checking Google, it comes up in a search history. What is this blacklist exposed? Let me check. I don't know why I sound like Dracula, but it feels like it fits.
Yeah, it's just the oligarch seems to come up quite a bit in the show. It's an interesting thing. Why did you say Ukrainian oligarch? Why not like an African oligarch or something?
I'm going to miss being alive. That was fun. All right, characters.
Yes, you bet. Music this week. The show is actually in purgatory as well when it comes to music because we only had another single song episode. At the end of the episode, during the closing sequence, while Wrestler talks to his CIA contact and Red and Cooper talk about the Third Estate and Aram talks to his clock, we hear All There Is from Gregory Allen Isakov, which is the second song I think we've heard from Gregory Allen this season.
So do you think they are saving the budget so they can get some like Bruce Springsteen songs or is it just a matter of it's just not, they don't need them right now?
Well, if you remember the premiere had like 8 songs in it. And then I think the pharmacist had like 4 or 5. So
you know, they have a budget for this.
Yeah. They might be, they're just, the episodes just don't call for it because it's just a lot. I mean, especially this week was a lot of dialogue. It's a lot of Olivia talking, a lot of Red talking, a lot of Anna talking, a lot of Harold talking, a lot of Red talking to Amir talking. It's just a lot of talking. So you don't really put music over those sequences. So it probably just didn't call for it this week.
I have faith that you are correct.
Well, you can get all the songs on our playlists. Yes, those, theblacklistexposed.com. One for Spotify, one for Apple, depend your music service of choice. So definitely check those out. I just updated everything that I forgot to update the last 2 weeks.
Anna, moving on to the rest of the characters. Anna McMahon is definitely working with Olivia Olson. That is firmly established. So we do know that Red's on to something. And he loves to play with people. So basically, you know, he's using, like we talked about, he's using her to draw out Anna McMahon and find out what her real purpose is, which is interesting. And what was the line where he's just sitting in Cooper's office and just assuming that this is going to, by him showing up at that meet, it's definitely going to get to Anna and she's going to show up at his office in no time. And he's like, my understanding of humanity or whatever astounds me sometimes or something like that.
That was so funny. I think my favorite sequence of the season so far is that entire time when Anna is in Cooper's office and Red's just sitting in the chair and Anna and Cooper talking like Red's not there. And Spader just keeps like looking at her, looking at Cooper, looking at her. And she walks out and he's just kind of like, I guess that happened.
Yeah. Sometimes my grasp of human nature astonishes even me. That was the line that made me, I laughed out loud. I don't laugh out loud much, but I laughed out loud. Good stuff,
the only,
man.
The only thing
good
with stuff. Anna, though, that's interesting is she's got this like stoic persona when she's front, right? When she's like, I gotta be Harold's boss or I'm talking to the president or...
Yeah, she's panicky, right? She's afraid of Red.
She's totally panicky because she's like on the phone with Olivia walking down the street and just her face says fear, even though she seems like she's in such command. So I don't know if she's really the crafty bad guy that we're making her out to be.
I just like her as a bad guy. I think the actress is really bringing it. She's interesting to me. She's giving layers to a bad guy, you know, a villain where she's all confident and people are present, but in behind the scenes, she's a little scared of what's going on. She's a little worried.
Shaking in the boots, for sure.
And Olivia's right up front with it. She's like, I'm fried too. That's my British accent. You're welcome. It's horrible.
Lisa, have some more.
So, interesting. We'll find out a little bit more as we go on. Dembe, he doesn't do a lot. You know, he's Mr. Bodyguard this week. Still looks badass while he's sitting there, like he could just mess somebody up. Then I still think he's giving around a little bit of side eye.
Definitely. He's saving up his energy for next week's episode.
I don't know. I didn't watch the preview. Mm-hmm. Oh, but speaking of previews. So everybody that listens to podcasts, you know, I don't watch previews or I try not to. Someday I do. Sometimes most of the time I don't. But I didn't watch this. Heard a lot about people were saying, hey, Rob's going to bring down the world and he's going to be the big bad for the end of the season and everything else. So you watch it afterward, and yeah, one more time, stop trusting NBC promos. They just want people that don't normally watch the show to watch the show, and we're suckers sometimes because that isn't what happened at all.
Right. Their job is to specifically reel in the people that are like, I kind of like this show back in the day. Maybe I'll come back and check it out again. Or,
right.
Hey, that looks like really cool. Maybe I'll turn that on. It's not for the diehards. Diehards don't watch the promos. You don't need to worry about it. It's fine.
Because it's always going to be misdirection.
Always.
Always. Yeah. And whenever they say, this week you get an answer, you're not. Write that down. I'm not getting an answer this week.
Well, I spoke one week, though, they were like, you will get an answer. We actually did get an answer. It just wasn't the answer people wanted.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. Come on. We can. Give it to us. It's fine.
Cooper doesn't tell truth either because he lies through his teeth in front of Anna McMahon this week.
Yeah, I respected it, though. He's working to bring her down. He does not like her. He's not a fan. And he's playing the game. Harold knows what's up. So moving on to Harold, he's okay with extending Red's reach if it brings down McMahon. Were you surprised by that or not really at this point?
Oh, not at all. He knows He knows that Anna's shady from day one when he was trying to work with the president to do the whole stay of execution. And he can read her like a book because Cooper's awesome like that.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't mind looking at a few pages. You know what I'm saying? That's probably not cool. All right. Sorry, that was tacky. We all want the same thing, which is the point where they bring McMahon down and they bring down the president. I get that. His work finds the first lead, the third estate, which references the French Revolution. It means everyone else, the 99%. So here, take a second, Troy, and listen to this.
Okay. Ooh. Wait. I got to write this down. Time code, Dadon, Aaron did homework this week.
I did. Every once in a while, I crack open a book called Wikipedia.
I don't do homework. I just watch Les Mis.
All right. Well, here's the homework I did do. I'm going to read you a quick paragraph just to give you an understanding of what the Third Estate actually is, so nobody else has to go Google. Before the Revolution, French society was divided into three estates or orders. The First Estate, which was clergy, Second Estate, which was nobility, and Third Estate, which are the commoners. With around 27 million people, or 98% of the population, the Third Estate was the largest of the three by far. As might be expected in such a large group, the Third Estate contained considerable diversity. There were many different classes and levels of wealth, different professions and ideals, rural, provincial, and urban residents alike. Members of the Third Estate ranged from lowly beggars and struggling peasants to urban artisans and laborers, from the shopkeepers and commercial middle classes to the nation's wealthiest merchants and capitalists. Despite the Third Estate's enormous size and economic importance, it played almost no role in the government of the Ancien Régime. The frustrations, grievances, and sufferings of the Third Estate were pivotal causes of the French Revolution. So, listening to that, and we're going to have a link in the show notes so you can read more on that if you want to. But hearing that, does that make you wonder if maybe this plot, this plan, is actually for the people to go against the top 1%?
It sounds like it, based on the concept of the French Revolution about the Les Mis play or the book. So I think that'd be actually kind of cool. Like, here's the democracy, the people rising up against the government and taking back what's theirs. And if that's the case, it's kind of an interesting story. And I kind of vote for the 99% people.
You're okay with it? You know what? People rise up. Let's take it back.
I mean, it goes back to the whole long-term strategy for short-term gain. Maybe this is another one of those sit-in type things, or when people were camping out in like Boston Garden and doing all those sit-ins and just kind of protesting, but nothing ever really came of it.
Well, interesting. And before we move on to Wrestler, I do want to say, you know, last week we dealt with Samara Mojan's episode and how she left. And honestly, we, at the very end of the episode, and I think we talked about it last week, but I want to make sure people know, because not everybody media, believe it or not, that she did leave the show. So it's not one of those, she'll be back in two or three episodes. She actually did leave the show. So she moved on to, I assume, bigger, better things, but she's still alive, so she could always come back.
In case you missed it, he said, she's gone. She's really gone. Stop asking questions.
So on the nose, you know? All right, Wrestler, by taking her out, you're extending Reddington's reach. Are you okay with that? He's not okay with it. He's not okay with not pursuing Red. He wants to know who Red really is. In fact, he's so not okay, I can foresee this being a real problem.
Oh, now you can foresee it being a problem. Now you say, oh, yeah, now when he actually talks to MJ at the CIA, now you believe me that Diego was going to go against Megan. I see how it is.
Did I say it wasn't?
Yeah, you were like, no, that camera pan across his face. That didn't mean anything, Troy. You're just reading into it.
You're right. That's fair. Yeah, it definitely looks like he's pissed. He's pissed.
He should be. It was 5 years of his life chasing the wrong guy.
Is this going to get him killed?
His fiance died.
He reaches out to MJ. I don't know who that is. Mary Jane Watson or Michael Jackson. I don't know who it is. Somebody who worked on the... Michael Jordan. Could be Michael Jordan. I mean, why not? Why wouldn't the all-time greatest basketball player help Wrestler figure out who Red Reddington is? I would actually watch the hell out of that episode if Michael Jordan showed up. I'm just Chicago boy. Let's go.
Mick Jagger.
Go Bulls. Nah, I wouldn't watch that. I wouldn't watch that. You know, he just had heart surgery?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
He had to like postpone a tour. Man, I'm having heart surgery. I'm canceling everything. I'm not doing anything ever again. You got more money than God. Why are you even bothering? Because I'm Mick Jagger.
Sometimes it's for the dream.
I don't know why you're still touring. You have more money than God. You must let.
Maybe
must
touring was his only option.
What do you mean?
I'm just tagging into the episode. Try to bring it back around.
Oh. Sorry. I got on a Mick Jagger kick. Go Stones. All right. So he's working on he called MJ, who's working on the Katerina case. Michael Jordan, after he retired, he became apparently an FBI agent, and he's been working on the Katerina case. Fascinating stuff.
And I guess the question is this MJ person still working on the Katerina case, or did they work on the Katerina case in the past?
Well, he said you worked on the Katerina case, Katerina Rostova. So he's going to start ruffling feathers, and Red already knows that he knows because of that court thing.
Yep, exactly. The courtroom. Raymond Reddington. Maybe he's in this room.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's not him. And you just fought in his eyes. So we're going to see how that plays out. All right, Liz. And let's see. Why do men think the only way to handle a problem is to be stoic? I find that to be a good question, Troy. Why do you think men think the only way to handle a problem is to be stoic?
Because we're not supposed to be emotional creatures. We're supposed to hold it in and be strong men for the family, for our spouses, for our jobs. And it's just because that's the way we're told we're supposed to act.
It's society's fault is what I'm going with.
It absolutely is society's fault, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go against the stereotypes.
And apparently, if you show emotion, you get emails. We'll talk about that later. But... But that is the answer to the question. It's really society's fault because they're stuck in the 50s. All right. He gives us high value criminals. That's her defense to why we need to
just shut up. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Shut up.
Last 6 years. Stop never bringing happened, up. Wrestler. Just move along.
Let's just pretend none of this matters because we're getting stuff done. That's whatever. Whoever he is, he's looked after me since I was a child. Katerina framed my dad and she wouldn't tell her the truth, even if she knew it, she doesn't think. Here's my question with that statement. I was frustrated because she just dropped everything and then decides to, you know, oh, you know what? I'm all good with him. I spent 12 episodes chasing him. And blah, blah, blah. And I was very angry and frustrated as a fan for that. I know you were frustrated too. Does that explanation make you feel any different about the first 12 episodes and her giving up her plight?
I mean, no. I mean, she's... The end of season 5, she's all about hell-bent on figuring out the whole thing. And I think that this is a complete 180 from that moment. And mm-hmm. I can understand why they're doing it from a writing perspective, because it gives more story and more runway, and we got season 7 and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, I still think it just does a complete disservice to the character. But it does give us a great opportunity for Wrestler to come into the foreground and do a whole bunch of cool stuff.
Yep, agreed. Agreed.
The bigger thing, though, that is my question coming out of this conversation is it seemed like the show, not Megan, not Liz, but the show was hinting at, you know, if Katerina was still alive, she wouldn't even tell me the truth. So even Liz is questioning now, is Katerina actually dead? And I think that opens up a door for either Katerina's alive or Katerina's really alive.
Yeah, Ken, let's mention that. Because her and Wrestler both indicated that they were not even surprised by that being an option. Neither one of them were surprised with the option that Katerina could probably be alive.
With this show, I'm surprised it took them 6 years to figure that out.
Well, it feels to me like a picture is being painted. Would you agree?
Oh, that everything this season's been painted. Everything from, you know, the whole Dembe will hold Liz's secret and... You know, there's going to be an episode of, you know, does Dembe keep to that? The Wrestler is like, well, I don't know if I can go about that. There's going to be an episode of Wrestler's going to find out about the backstory. Everything has been kind of painted in a previous episode for a future episode this season. It's been, I don't want to say by the numbers, but it's been very well planned so that you can expect these things to come back and resurface. And so I'm sure that that comment is not a throwaway comment in any way, shape, or form.
No, boxes have been checked. There's definitely a playbook in process here.
35 blue, wide right.
Hut hut. All right. Liz gets ballsy with an intern named Eric who ends up writing out the secret boardroom. I just want to point out that was one of my favorite moments of the episode because that was great.
That was one of my most frustrating moments of the episode, to be quite
what?
Honest.
I thought it was great because I'm like, good. It's about time one of these dumbasses actually does that. So many times in these shows, no, I ain't saying nothing because I'm going to behold. No, man, I would throw you under the bus right now. I would throw my mom under the bus. FBI shows up. Where's your mom at? Oh, I can't tell you. I'm going to protect my mom. You'll be going to jail for 10 years. She is down the hall and to the right.
I mean, he's the one that picks up the phone and makes it look like he's kind of almost like a mastermind. Hey, we got a problem down here. And it seemed like he was in on the whole thing. And everybody else maybe just be peons in the office. And then it completely switches 180 to where he's when, oh, no, no, there's an accounting firm up on the fourth floor. It seemed like the character was like bipolar in the way that they at least filmed it or shot it or something.
Oh,
because initially
or a coward.
I thought because he made the phone call to tip him off to say, hey, you got to get out of there, that there's no way he was going to break. I thought it was going to be the coward. Guy across the thing that was going to break. Cause he's like, no, don't say anything. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Coward. Coward.
But
that's what he was.
Turned out to be
I like the moment.
I like the moment from Liz's perspective because she actually got somebody to actually say something for a change.
She profiled.
And she asked a question.
She profiled. She asked a question. She noticed this guy was, like, she could tell he was breakable, so she broke him.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I want to see, man. I like that. I thought that was a great moment for me. That was right up there with Amar and Red on the plane, to me. Speaking of, let's get to Red. He's taking ass shots. So, you want to talk about why he's taking needles in the butt?
Yeah, it was fine. I'm sure the ladies liked it.
I'm sure they did. Yeah. Did any of them play that in slow motion, like frame by frame?
I've stayed off of Tumblr for that reason. Red. I'm sure that's
up how there. You doing? Yeah, somebody I'm sure has a nice little screenshot grab of that. So he's taking shots in the butt. He's taking pills or in the hip, whatever. Looks like a butt to me. What do you got to say about this? What do you think is going on?
Well, to me, taking the shot there, I really thought it implied diabetes right away. And then he takes the pills after he takes the shot. So there's a whole lot of medication going on. And we don't even know if the pills that he took were the ones from the pharmacist. You have to assume that based on what you're seeing.
Yeah, I would assume.
But we never saw Spalding Stark get to Dembe any kind of needles or shots. So the shots is an interesting addition.
How about Parkinson's? Because he is very shaky.
Well,
multiple sclerosis, something like that.
Well, that was the interesting tie-in for this episode. You had this lady who's the construction Parkinson's, worker. Yep. She's there for a Parkinson's event specifically and trying to fund research to find a cure. And so maybe that is one of those like, hey, this is the clue we're telling you in the show, but nobody will pay attention to it. So
that's kind of what I took from it. Like at first, as soon as it was over, I'm like, Parkinson's. Maybe he's got Parkinson's. That would make sense. We've talked about the shaking and how it's been sporadic. Multiple sclerosis might also be, an eventually debilitating disease. I could see those things affecting him in various ways.
And if it's those two things, yeah, it makes sense why he would fund the research with Spalding Stark, because those are two illnesses that don't have a cure today. So if he wanted to fund a way to find a cure for either MS or Parkinson's, I think that would fit into the show, and it doesn't have to be some grand CRISPR thing at the end of the day. It could just be a basic illness.
Well, they're obviously opening up that discussion point, so it's going to be a big factor going forward. I think we're going to find out probably by the end of the year, most likely, based on what we've seen so far, because they keep amping up how often it's referenced.
Yes.
Interesting. All right. He says, hiding it implies I care one way or the other about it. I don't, so he doesn't care that Harold knows that he's, blowing meetings just to flush out Anna McMahon. I thought that was pretty funny.
I thought it was funny.
Chumming the waters
when he showed up at the warehouse.
And yeah, because you weren't expecting that?
Totally wasn't expecting that. That was a neat twist.
That was fun. Then we get to, he's chumming the waters. He's trying to flush out McMahon, which he did. We got Third Estate. We already talked about that. Brings us to Aram. When they're on the plane, basically around what he does is he steals $60 million of Red's money and uses it as insurance to get Red to take him to Samara. We'll talk about Aram here in a second. We're just talking about Red right now.
Balls. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. That takes balls. But I also think he knew Red wouldn't kill him. I feel really bad for the promotion because the promotion painted it like he is going to be the big bad for the season. And that's just not what it was about. It was about a guy who was broken and desperate to say goodbye or to join her, to be with her, and yada. So he has this conversation with Aram, and also you can see he's kind of really tired and a little shaky on the plane. That's why the illness seems more prominent, yada, yada. And he taunts Aram with helping others to kind of get him to focus and get him back to where he needs him to be, which is pay attention to what I'm telling you. And he kind of goes over this soliloquy of issues. He's like, I made some difficult choices in my life, choices that have brought pain and sorrow. It's a heavy burden to bear. The burden Samar now bears. She left because she saw no other path. She was a target. And if she was in your life, you would be a target too. Allow her to think she did the right thing. You're more powerful than you know, Aram. Use it wisely. What do you think of that moment? Because I actually thought that was a beautiful way to put it, because the whole time they're on the plane, I'm trying to figure out, like, how is he going to talk him out of this? Because I can tell you it sounds like a dumb idea for Aram, based on everything we saw in the previous episode. But he's also not thinking rationally. Even though he's orchestrated a very rational plan, he's not thinking rationally. And Red is trying to reach him on a rational level. And I feel like that's a good way to do it.
I also think the speech here saves the episode, to be quite honest, because it was just kind of a run-of-the-mill blacklister. I mean, 115, we didn't capture the blacklister. Yeah, who cares about construction and drugs, right? We see that all the time. But this speech, I think, is what the blacklist does really well. I kind of equate this to like a season 2 filler episode where you gotta fill in the 22 with something, but you also got to keep people wanting to come back for more. And I think this gives a lot of insight into the Katarina backstory, whether you think Red's Katarina or whether you think Katarina's still alive. Either way, it just plays to the mythology to say, you know, this are the things that Katarina was working through when she was going through her choices. You know, she had a heavy burden to bear. Do I leave my child behind? Do I put all the family I love behind in order to escape from the KGB and the CIA? You know, she now has to bear that guilt, and she saw no other path, right? We had that conversation in Cape May. Like what other choice do I have? And Red's like, there's always a choice, right? So this was the path that she had to choose. That was the choice she took. And she was a target. You know, the KGB and the CIA were following her, and she had to do something about it. So... And the whole time she's had to live with this grief. So she's looking for absolution of why she did what she did, whether she died or not. And she has to know that that was the right decision to make. And as Red's obviously mulling that over, if you're the Red Arena camp, you're like, oh, this all makes sense.
I would say it does all make sense. Yes, absolutely. And I really, for me, it was the reason why I liked it the most is that he didn't paint it as he painted it as she's still a strong woman and you're making it harder for her as right. opposed to like taking away her strength in a way. So that's why I liked it. I'm a big fan of strong female characters and allowing them to be strong. And that's, he allowed her, he didn't try to take that, you know, sometimes they have male characters that ultimately try to take it away and because they're trying to be manly and all that crap. That didn't happen here. And I really liked that. You had a good point about Katarina and the baby. So I just kind of want to bring up, now that Liz is all good with Daddy-O, why should Agnes be back in the picture at some point? Or at this, what point do we call it DCFS? Is what I'm asking.
I mean, no one wants to see Agnes. Come on, let's be honest.
I agree with that. This is a real catch-22, though, isn't it? Because you know, I keep seeing fans go, "Where's Agnes?" Where it's almost like they're looking for anything to pick on the Liz character. Honestly, sometimes I legitimately believe that. That's beside the point. But there's legitimate criticism on both sides because we don't want Agnes to be a big factor because it kind of detracts from the fun of the blacklist. On the same token, she's got a kid, so it kind of takes away from the character a little bit if she never acknowledges her. And she doesn't. I don't even think I've heard Agnes's name mentioned in the last several episodes. Where are you at with this whole Agnes debacle?
It could be just as simple as she's on a phone call in the office. And like, okay, Scotty, gotta go. See ya. So at least she's checking in on Agnes, calling Scotty on the cell or whatever. And then Wrestler comes in, it's like, hey, Cooper's got a case. We gotta go. Just something like that, just to acknowledge that the kid still exists. Right.
Or show that she's still spending time with her after hours somehow. I mean, how long are you gonna keep? You're obviously okay with everything with Red now, so it makes zero sense that you have no communication with your own child. Yes, I don't like Agnes as a character. I don't think anybody really does. And we don't want kids in the blacklist. Just not fun. I'm sorry. Sorry, kids. If you're listening, you guys aren't fun on TV shows. It's just the way it goes. I still want Judith. She's older and Walking Dead. Still want her to be a frag grenade. I don't care. Just kids aren't fun. So, but on the same token,
you introduced her as a character to her. It's part of Liz's character, yes, and part of her dynamic.
Yes.
And because of that, you're doing the character a disservice by not having her be a focal point, because that's all she wanted. I just want a family. She's got a family. She had to protect her family in order to pursue this thing. And now the thing is not even being pursued anymore. So what's stopping you from going to pick up your kid from daycare?
You could easily just have like one scene that addresses it and it's done. You know, for another 5 or 6 episodes, like when she's off work, this is what she does. Just kind of shows her. She goes and sees Agnes, spends the night with her, comes back, and then she's back on the clock, you know, something like that. And she's with Scotty's daycare because I'm sure Fomka's busy. So, you know, whatever. So you see the nanny or something, just some acknowledgement. Yeah, she knows she's still got a daughter somewhere. That's all. It just I see fans talking about it, so I feel like if we don't talk about it, they're going to be mad. We've never spoke about it. Unless, so there you go. We've mentioned it.
I mean, you could throw it another way. You could say that this is a perfect setup to say, look, Katerina did love her daughter, and Katerina made sure that, you know, Elizabeth was taken care of by putting Red into, maybe that's the whole thing. Katerina put Red into Liz's life, much like she gave Agnes to Scotty, and by talking to Agnes herself, it puts her in danger. So the same reason why Katerina hasn't reached out to talk to Liz. Maybe okay. It is part of a master plan.
It very well could be. All right. So Rom begins the episode by wiping Reddington's accounts of 60 million bones. Blackmails Red to take him to Samara. We kind of talked about that. And then Red has to explain to him why she had to hide, why he can't see her. He doesn't care. He still wanted to get to her. What do you think was the final straw that made him change his mind? Just the fact that the Red speech about let her be strong, don't be a bigger burden than she can already bear.
I think he was more like, oh shit, people are watching my apartment while I'm sleeping. Because that would freak me out enough to not go chase after my wife. I'm like, see ya, honey. I don't want to have people come find you.
His little confession to the camera was very sweet.
It was very fun. Sweet. It was fun. Yeah, I think he understands that if they can track him, then they can get to her. And at the end of the day, he just wants her to be safe from this whole thing. So I think he just comes to the realization finally through Red that as long as I'm in her life, she's a target and she could be killed. So I have to get out of her life, which again is another foreshadowing moment for why Katerina got out of Liz's life in the whole backstory of this saga.
I was really moved by this entire episode, this aspect of the episode. I'm with you. The Olivia Olsen stuff was kind of like yawn, but I really believe it's necessary to set up something that's coming along. So it's probably going to be more prominent than we realize at this point. It's just more like a piece coming into place. But I really liked what Amir does in this episode. I really like the arc for his character currently. And contrary to what Promo said, I think this is the right way to handle it. This feels like something a Rom would do, even though he's 56 grand in the hole. Hopefully Red will forgive that debt. I think he probably would. You know, he understands. You could tell he understands.
Yeah.
Because I hope he understands.
Liz is buying the beers because he's broke.
And he's going to have that meeting with Liz now. And I like how he left notes for everybody. I thought that, you know, that was sweet. Like, he was ready to go. And then he realized, you know, I got to stop being the psycho stalker and I have to move on with my life. She's gone. She's really gone.
The bigger question on this whole thing is, when does Liz tell Aram that Red's an imposter?
I don't think you do. I don't think she does. And until Red is aware that Liz knows, which I'm sure is probably coming up soon.
Yeah, it'll probably come out with whatever Donald's doing.
Yeah, her or Donald, one of it will come to light. I think the only way he's going to find out is if one of the other characters is in trouble because they know. You know, one of the other characters are currently under threat and they have to reach out to him for help. And then that's when he would find out.
All right.
Because I don't know how Aram would act, because he really kind of respects Red, even though he's mad at him now. And I believe he's gotten over that. He still has a respect for him or an admiration, kind of that whole, kind of like a young kid who's looking up to a superhero. You know, that's his Iron Man in a way. He wants to be Iron Man. That would bring some of that crashing down a little bit.
He'd probably be like, whoa, you're not Red. You're actually somebody else. You're tall.
It's kind of like nobody wants to know their heroes, you know?
Oh, sure.
You don't want, because you know how that's going to go.
I think that at the end of the day, though, Aram finding out, I think, would be something that's very interesting to explore, to see if he would be loyal to the task force or if he would tip off Red and explore that relationship because they have this bond.
Okay. Is there any other thing about this that you want to mention in terms of the episode or the mythology or anything else?
I mean, we got the drug conversation again. I mean, we had the drug conversation with, what was it? The mummy episode. I can never remember his name. Not Minister D, the one that was before Minister D.
Arnold Vosloo?
The guy that played the mummy in the mummy movies.
Yeah, Arnold Vosloo.
Yeah, with the
I know, is it the actor's the LSD name? I don't know.
And the pregnant lady, and so the drug cartel thing seems to be a common thread in the Blacklist. We had the big kingpin guy in season 5 last year that went down. So there was a drug story there as well. So, and maybe it's just because it's the easiest criminal network thing to talk about moving things from port to port because Red's got his ports. But now we have drugs with the pharmacist with Spalding Stark. So maybe drugs are a thing. He's trying to bring a new drug to market, and he needs a place to traffic those drugs in order to get it into the population.
All right. Well, I think that does it for the big points. We've got some cool special agent intel, so hold tight for that. Want to take a quick second to say thank you to those of you that are supporting the show by going to Patreon. That's patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. We had a blast at C2E2, and we want to get all the details from the panel. You can do so by signing up over at patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. The full audio version of the panel is there for you to take and go in. Plus, there is a special after the panel episode that Troy has up there.
You betcha. Every bit of support helps. Excited to thank Doug, Marilyn, and Lacey, as well as Leone, Brandon, Jim, Stacy, and Florian for being super awesome people. They get really cool rewards like a t-shirt, phone call with me every month, and some other great prizes. So if you want to do that, make sure you sign up at the $15 level or higher.
Also, shout out to Kevin, Paulette, Priscilla, Isabel, Richard, Nell, James, Judy, Rachel, Tony, and Sharon for being amazing special agents for supporting us and the podcast.
That's right. Patreon, patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. Fill the fedora. You can click that on the website or in certain podcast players. There's now a button there that'll take you right over as well. Get some awesome rewards for yourself, and we thank you so much for supporting the show. We'll be back with Special Agent Intel right after this.
Welcome to Veronica's Marshmallows. I'm Amanda Singh.
And I'm Angela Wallach. And we're a weekly podcast which investigates the cases, mysteries, and relationship dynamics in the show Veronica Mars. Don't worry if you've never seen the show, we won't spoil future episodes.
To discuss your theories on the show's mystery and vote for your favorite quote of the episode, visit our Facebook group or on Twitter at @VMarshmallowPod.
New episodes release every Tuesday, so visit us at veronicasmarshmallows.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Remember, it's all fun and games until one of you gets Veronica's foot up your ass.
Hey, this is Amir. I play Aram on The Blacklist, and you are listening to The Blacklist Exposed.
Hey, Special Agent Intel. Let's get into it. First off, I want to read a wonderful email from RRD. He says, "What's up with Troy and Aaron? They sound like two little schoolgirls with all their crying at supposed love scenes between Aram and Samar. Might as well have been listening to Days of Our Lives or As the World Turns. Sickening." Yeah, the 1950s called, and they want their time machine back.
Yeah, why can't you be more stoic or something, Aaron?
Jesus. My mom would be ashamed of you for writing that email. That's all I have to say.
That email made me so sad.
I know. I'm sorry you don't have feelings. Neil Ottenstein, he says, glad that Aram turned around. Another episode where the Blacklister got away, but at least this time there was considerable damage to her operation.
True. George Nauman said, I think it is very interesting that Wrestler called a contact MJ at the CIA who had investigated Katarina to discuss what MJ had learned. Sounds like MJ could be the CIA equivalent to the KGB's Anton Velov. Oh, interesting concept. I wonder if Wrestler is going to learn Liz has a living grandfather, and if so, will he tell her?
Caroline Steele, oh my God! I absolutely love what they did with Aram, and did you hear what Red said? Is this not pretty much like saying, I am Katarina, so I know what Samar went through? I mean, I know people were theorizing something similar, but to hear Red say it in so many words. Caroline, this is Aaron, saying, no, I didn't get that at all. I'm sure Troy did, but I didn't hear that at all.
Yes, I sure did. I sure did.
Whatever your theory is, you're beholden to it. So try to be open. That's what I say.
And you'll make it fit. You'll make it fit into whatever you want it to be.
Yep. You will make it fit your theory. I did not see it that way, but if you're beholden to that theory, you probably will.
Sure. Monica Stolfa. Man, I love Harold dancing around Anna McMahon. Is this third estate going to be a bunch of peasants revolting against the rich? I'm surprised that McMahon isn't bugging the post office the way Mossad is watching Aram. Is there a possible connection between Red taking meds for unknown reasons and a fundraiser for Parkinson's disease? I wonder.
Yeah. Well, I should probably read the stuff before I get there. I could have just held it. My question is, well, because I don't want to like steal ideas from listener stuff, so I don't read them till we get there. I got a question in terms of the Mossad thing. Do you think that's going to come back, or is it time to let that go to bed because Samar's gone? He's already talked to Mossad and told him he doesn't know just move past it. We don't need to go back, is what I'm saying, right?
Well, with Levi being dead, Samar being gone, I would say, yeah, with the he can... Aram's pretty technical. He can go find all the bugs, take them out of the apartment, squash them, and then Mossad's gone. So yeah, Mossad storyline done.
Okay. Didi Elliott, I'm so happy they didn't turn Aram into the big bad, and I thought the scenes between James and Amir were amazing. I agree. Both of them were fantastic. And I would say Amir did a great job. James Spader, I was really impressed with how he did, like, tired face. I mean, he's always great, like, in every episode, but he did tired face really well. A lot of actors try that, and they always look like they're pretending to be tired. He looked like he was legitimately... I thought he woke up from a nap to do this scene on the plane.
Let me just solve these problems.
Okay, sorry. Again, it shows how personal this entire experience has been to Red and how it ties into his own life. I'm a little surprised that Liz has no issue with Red anymore. Get in line! Considering the lengths...
I was going to say, a little surprised.
I am still in shock, considering the length she went to find out who he really is. I'm glad because I prefer it when they are working together. I understand that. But, you know, Red is going to find out by the end of the season it was her that set him up, and it will be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, if that is the final nail in the coffin for season six, that Red finds out it was Liz, it does set up an interesting season seven of how they, like, move on with that in their relationship and... what all happens, and is it a race to the end then if season seven is the final season of what the big reveal would be?
Here's my trick to that. Okay, this is legitimately how I feel about it, is if you play that card where he's going to be mad at her because she wants to know who he really is because she knows the truth about him and she doesn't learn anything by the end of the season, I would be very irritated. If we're going to move past it, then move past it. But if you keep coming back to it, somebody better demand a damn answer. Or I'm going to have a hard time justifying that in my head, my fan head. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So if you come back to it, somebody better own up to something. We have to get something. And because the bones thing and the non-answer thing has been going on basically for a year and a half now. I mean, the whole show, yes, but you've kind of been playing off it for a year and a half, so you have to deliver at some point something tangible, not just more lost, and give us some answers, ask some questions.
Which is why I think in a show like this, you have to come to that realization, like you have to end it at a certain time. I know James was like, we could go season eight. I love doing the show. It's great. But I think at some point you have to say, where is it from a fan perspective before you start losing value in the property overall, which is why Damon and Carlton went to the network and said, hey, you know, they found everything out in the end of season three. There's pretty much nothing else we can do on this island. We got to do something else. We got to start moving towards the end game. And so hopefully that was the pitch when they got six and seven renewed at the same time, that they said, hey, here's the thing. Two seasons, here's the end game, and let's finish it.
I mean, I know everybody, you know, there's people that work on the show, so I'm not advocating nobody.
Oh, no, yeah, definitely not.
Just in terms of story, that makes sense. You have to have an end game in mind, and you have to start building to it. I don't know when that's going to be, 7, 8, whatever, but it definitely needs to, we need to start seeing something, and you can't keep having the characters come back to the same questions and not answer it without it becoming the X-Files.
Or like John said, you know, he wanted to give the answer out like the first season, and he just wants to get out right away, and oh no, you got to play it. There's comes a point where it's like, just give the answer and then spend the next couple seasons explaining the answer if you have to, if you got to keep the show going.
Yeah.
Which would be as interesting.
I totally agree. Totally agree. All right. I think that's going to do it for this show. Remember, you can answer a profiling question, which is basically the wrestler dynamic. What's going to happen with wrestler? Is it, should he be asking these questions?
I don't know.
I don't either, man. I'm still,
he should ask them because it's for him, but at the same time, it will make a rift in the relationship with Liz, I think. And they just got back together. That's the one thing. Like, sad to see Mojang go from the show, but now that Mojang's gone from the show and now that Tom's gone from the show, hey, look, we're back to Liz and Wrestler being agents and partners in the field. And it's fun. I love it.
Hey, speaking of that, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
When Tom left, I was a happy camper. Made more storyline for everybody. Samar's leaving. She wasn't really getting a lot of storyline anyway, but that does free up everybody else a little bit. Do you want any more characters added, or do you kind of just want to play with who we have now?
I thought we just added Anna McMahon.
Well, I mean, she's like a bad, so you know she's not there for the long haul. I mean, in terms of our core group, do you want another agent added or do you want to just go with what we have?
No, what we have is great.
Okay. Yeah. Same here. I've seen a lot of people saying they should replace her, or are they going to replace her and stuff? And I wouldn't want that in any way, shape, or form, honestly.
No, I mean, it was the original too. It was Harold and Donald. And then Red comes into the box. They bring in Liz, and then they have to find the IT guy. So no, this is
Her name in the first season that died?
Well, Mirna came in like three episodes later because Diane Fowler inserted her into the task force.
That's right. But she wasn't part
of like the original, like the pilot in the second episode. So I think this is our core group of people. We should finish with the core group of people.
Well, that will conclude this episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at the Blacklist GSM, where we live tweet during the East Coast feed when possible. We use the show's hashtag, The Blacklist.
Don't forget to follow us on Tumblr, Instagram, and join the Facebook group. Just search for The Blacklist Exposed. Talk about the show, the podcast, or your favorite Calvin and Hobbes comic.
Big thanks for listening. Don't forget to answer our profiling question, which we already talked about.
Yeah, what do you think about Wrestler? Should he or shouldn't he? Let us know your thoughts, and we'll take those as the profiling question for next week.
All right, sweet. Everybody have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.